Welcome to Women Mean Business, the podcast from the Conferences for Women. I'm your host, Lisa Bennett, and today I'm so excited that we have with us Nelly Galan, who's been called the entrepreneurial fairy godmother every woman needs to know. She was the first Latina president of entertainment for a U.S. television network, Telemundo. She's an Emmy Award-winning producer and the owner of Galan Entertainment. She's the author of the New York Times best-selling book, Self-Made, Becoming Empowered, Self-Reliant, and Rich in Every Way. And of course, she's a top-rated Conferences for Women speaker. Nelly, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh my God, it's my pleasure to be with all of you. I've loved coming to the women's conferences, and I'm so happy we're here speaking today.
Yay, thank you. You know, you've said that these are revolutionary times for women and that you believe the next phase of the revolution is about economic empowerment. Can you kick us off by talking about that?
Of course. I think, you know, I believe there is no true empowerment for a woman until she has her own money. I mean, we talk about Me Too and Time's Up and all incredible things that have created a new conversation for women. But I think the next thing we all have to speak about is, what would the world look like if we were really financially self-reliant, if we were actually abundant, if we were self-made? And when I say self-made, I don't mean that we're all going to run and be entrepreneurs, but we all must invest like an entrepreneur. We all must have our own money. We must not depend on someone else and our destinies on someone else deciding for us, you know, what our futures hold. So to me, economic empowerment is the holy grail for women.
I would love to dive in, and we will dive into that a little bit more. But first, let's just talk about your personal story, which is so interesting and, of course, all about becoming self-made. Mm-hmm. So I know that you are a child of immigrants and you came here at four, and that you've also said that thinking like an immigrant has been important to your success. Could you tell us that story and what you mean by that?
Yes. I mean, I'm more than even an immigrant. I'm a political refugee. I mean, I was born in Cuba. My parents went through a revolution in Cuba, a communist revolution. From one day to the next, we left Cuba, came here with nothing. My parents, who were very successful in Cuba, I think a lot of people also don't realize not all immigrants come here solely for economic reasons. I mean, things happen in the world. And you don't ever think it's going to happen to you, but it happened to them. My parents were professionals with college degrees, successful in their countries, had to come here. Their degrees were worth nothing. And they had to go and work in factories and start all over again. And by the way, grateful and happy to do so. Grateful to this country. So we came here, and I think that really changed my worldview, that good people, that good things happen. Bad things happen to good people around the world, that bad things happen, and that you never know when it's going to happen to you. And that my parents taught me that you start all over, you're a team, you work together as a family, and you go make money. And money is important because you have to get the family back on track, and you live in a parallel track of your mission and your money. And I think that had I not had these parents that suffered so much immigrating to another country, I would not have the empathy that I have, that I understand when I see other people that, you know, things happen to all of us, and that we all have to help each other, and that women have to help each other, and that we're all we've got. So I think, yeah, you know, that point of view really marked me. And it you know, I think my favorite story that I always say is that in the seventh grade, my parents, who sent me to all-girl Catholic school, were struggling to pay for my school, went through a very bad batch financially. And that I said to myself, how am I going to help my parents? Because again, in my empathetic state, I could walk in the shoes of my parents, something that most kids don't do today because they think they're entitled to everything. You know, I understood my parents', you know, horrible situation. Mm-hmm. So I went and started selling Avon to pay for my school, and then had the nuns send a letter to my father and mother saying that I had gotten a scholarship because I didn't want to hurt their feelings.
How old were you then?
I was 12 years old.
Wow.
And I think, you know, people say to me, you're so good at making money. And I said, well, if you've been practicing since you're 12, it's not that hard. But I do think that the key to the story isn't just about making money. It's about being empathetic to the fact that things go wrong in life, and we can't grow up thinking, you know, when I see women working in corporations, I say, if you don't, it's not that you have to leave and go start your own business, but if you don't start thinking like a self-made woman, if you don't think that if you don't invest your money, so that money makes money while you sleep and it grows, if you think that that company is going to take care of you for the next 40 years, that's a little crazy. There is no Prince Charming, not a mate, not a company, not a boss, and not a government is going to save you or any of us in the world that we live in.
So it's all about resilience.
Resilience, right? and concrete action. Mm-hmm. Knowing that no one is going, you know, you can't sit around waiting for someone else to save you when we are living in the greatest moment in history for women, even from their house, even with children, to make money in a digital way.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I would never sell Avon in today's world. I would do everything online. Uh-huh. So, you know, there is something that's happened, which is why I believe everything's happened with Me Too and Time's Up and everything that's happening for women. The stars have aligned for us where we are living in a digital age where there is no barrier to entry to make money. And we all must make money, where whether we work for other people and make money and then make money on the side, whether we make money with other people and we save the money and invest the money, or whether we decide we're entrepreneurial and we're going to start our own business. But we have to think like owners and like entrepreneurs, even in the way that we invest.
So, you know, I know that you give a lot of workshops. I know your book is focused on this, but just to give people a little tease, I mean, if somebody hasn't thought like an entrepreneur, where do you suggest they start?
Well, very easy. You start by saving money. You can't buy all the shoes you want and all the lipstick you want and everything you want and then wonder why you're living hand to mouth. You have to save 2 years of salary. I mean, that's where everything begins. And the reason you have to do that and sacrifice is because you need 1 year of salary for an emergency so you are never beholden to anyone. And then that second year of salary, and by the way, when women tell me, I can't do that, I live in New York and LA, then go live with three roommates. Then don't go out to Starbucks every morning. Then don't go, you have to sacrifice for a short period of time to then have many, many years of greatness that are ahead of you. You save 2 years of salary. One, you save for a rainy day, and the other one, you start investing. And you can invest in real estate, which is how I started, with $5,000. Mm-hmm. And I started at 31, and by 45, I owned 16 buildings. Wow. And I had revenue of as a landlord besides my TV job. I did that on the side while I worked in TV. And I used all the tax incentives and all the laws that exist in this country to buy more buildings. That's one way to do it. I recommend for women to go look at franchises. The number one franchise in America right now is tutoring and yoga, more than food. Hmm. So franchising is a way to put very little money in and have all these other people that have figured out a business, and you just follow them and you're going to make money. And you do what they tell you to do and you're going to make money. That's another way to do it. Another way to do it is through the shared economy. You know, use on time, you extra time you have, drive an Uber or a Lyft, or have your kid drive an Uber or a Lyft. No asset in the home should be wasted. If you have an extra room in your house, rent it on Airbnb. Make money all the time, even if you have another job, while you sleep. It's the perfect era. Start 1 hour a week on Sunday. Sell one thing out of your closet on Amazon and eBay. And if you don't know how to do it, get your kid or your niece or your nephew to post it for you. And you're going to be addicted, because when you make money all the time, you go, oh my God, I'm actually taking care of myself, and you're going to feel good about yourself. There is no self-esteem that's better than building yourself up brick by brick.
So, you know, I think probably anybody who's ever heard you would assume that you're passionate about anything that you do.
You know? I am passionate.
I'm curious, why are you so passionate about helping other women with this? You've done it, but I mean, you've really dedicated yourself to encouraging women. Why is that?
You know, I have to say, because I think that I've worked in the entertainment industry my whole life, and I've worked for a number of women, and most of them Jewish, I have to say, who have said to me, my mission in life is to leave the world a better place. And that really resonated with me because I think as a Latina, I always thought, well, I have to leave my parents in a better place. Like those of us that are immigrants or we come from traditional cultures, we all understand when I speak that our number one goal is to help our families. And that's our charity in our life because we understand that our parents have suffered. I'm very blessed that I've made money and I've taken care of my parents and my parents have all the money they need. And they have, you know, I bought them a place to live and I bought them a car and they have money and they are happy in old age. And nothing in the world am I prouder of than that I've taken care of my parents because I think that's God's work. And after that, I thought to myself, what would I like to do? What would I like my legacy to be? And I think I love women. I feel for women. I feel empathetic toward women because I know the best of us. I've met supermodels. I've met rich women. I've met poor women. And I know that life is not easy for any of us. And what I know for sure is that money doesn't make you happy, but that having money allows you to be empowered, not to put up with a mate, a boss, or anybody you don't want to. And I know that at my age, that I'm still a young woman, I'm in my 50s, and I could have retired at 45 if I wanted to, but I didn't. And I'm not J-Lo, Beyonce, or an athlete. I know that if I could do it, everyone can do it. And I also know that because I have money, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. I am now fully in my mission, still at a young age. So I wish that for all those women. I want to die knowing that I've made other women abundant and rich in a way that is still aligned with our cultures, our values, our religions, and our femininity.
That's rich.
That's rich.
Yeah. You know, I know that after you left Telemundo, after you were president of that network, I understand you went back to college to get your PhD in psychology. What's that story? And is that connected to this?
Yes, absolutely. I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, we sort of take it for granted that all kids are going to go to college or that's our aspiration for a lot of people, but not everyone goes to college and not everyone goes to a great college. And a lot of times it's not because you don't want to. In my case, you know, my parents were struggling when I was in college, in my college years. I was more concerned with making money and taking care of my parents. I never finished school. And it really was very tough on me through the years because even though I was very blessed that I was able to do very well in spite of not going to college, education is very big for us and in our community, very, very important because it's the one thing no one can take away from you, what you've learned. And at the time, my son was 8 years old and he was like he was struggling in school and he was like, Mom, why do I have to go to college? You never finished college and you've done really well. And I thought, oh my God, I don't want him to think that. Mm. And then the economy crashed in 2008 and I was very blessed because I had already made money. And I thought to myself, honestly, what would I regret if I died in a year? And I thought I would regret that I didn't go to school, that I didn't finish school, that I didn't show my son the importance of education. And I just decided I am going to give myself the best education in the world. And I'm going to study what I would have studied had I gone to school. Mm-hmm. And I went back to school and I ended up enrolling in this program that was a 6-year program for a master's and doctorate in clinical psychology. And if you did it in 4 years year round, you could finish in 4 years. And I booked myself a trip around the world.
Wow.
4 years, which was also on my bucket list. And I promised myself that if I didn't finish in 4 years, I wasn't allowed to go on the trip around the world. And so I did both. I finished my master's and doctorate. It took me a number of other years to finish the doctorate because you have to do a lot of other things to actually finish the doctorate. But I finished all my schoolwork in 4 years and I took the trip around the world.
Wow. Wow. So I know you can't summarize, you know, 4 years of study, especially if
I can. I really can.
You can?
Yes, I can. I think that the whole reason that I went to school, number one, is because when I was in television And really, television is about really understanding human nature and telling the stories of people. And I think psychology really was the missing piece in my puzzle, because I really understood through an empathetic lens why people behave the way they do. And I think that I'm even more empathetic and more loving having gone to psychology school. And I think it was the piece I needed, because I think sometimes being in the entertainment industry, you become a little jaded. You see a lot of things that you really don't wish you could, you needed to see. And I think I have more empathy and more love and more understanding to meet people where they are. And so I think that was a blessing in my life. I don't think I would have thought to do what I'm doing now. I think women should know that I wrote my dissertation on multicultural women as the new sleeping giant in America economically, and how that was going to change the psychology of our communities. And I think in doing that dissertation, I found my next mission.
And is this, can you see this mission continuing for the...
Oh, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. Yes. Mm-hmm. My goal is to create thousands and thousands of wealthy, abundant, rich women in every way. And and I know that the only thing keeping all of us from doing that is knowledge. If we knew how to do it, if we knew it was possible, if we could see other women that have done it that are actually nice people, because so many of us through our ethnic and religious backgrounds think rich people are bad, and that's not true. There are poor people that are bad, and there are rich people that are bad. There are poor people that are good, and there are rich people that are good. And I think women who have money can change the world. I think people don't realize that billionaires like the Gates have radically changed the world through their money. So money doesn't have to be this thing that we see as, you know, an evil thing. It's a great thing. And it's a great thing when you have enough money to give back to your family and to send your child to college and to send yourself to college and to change your community.
Now, when you started with this mission, I understand that you were giving trainings and offering resources.
I'm still doing it, yes.
Still doing it. But when you started, you were primarily doing it with Latina women.
Yes, I started with Latinas.
And then you had all kinds of things show up, right? And then,
well, what happened is I started with Latinas because I wasn't seeing a lot of people giving back to Latinas. And I felt like that's the community that I come from, and I need to start with my own community. And what happened is other women started showing up, and even the Latinas would bring their African-American friend or their best friend from India or from China. And then white women started coming because they were like, we want to hang out with all of you, and we want to do business together. And so it really organically grew, but I did begin with my own community, and I still have an entire platform and website with extra training for Latinas, because I understand the cultural barriers and the cultural mores that are different for Latinas, and I always want to give them extra love and attention.
You know, it's interesting listening to you and hearing, you know, I have your book, Self-Made, in front of me, right? Mm-hmm. And that big word, self, is striking me. But when I listen to you, what I'm hearing is it's so much about other, you know?
But you know what? I say a lot, and, you know, I'm about to give a speech in 2 days to a group of people that run a very big nonprofit. And I think that if you, everything begins with the self, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't love yourself the most, it's hard to love someone else if you don't understand loving yourself. It's hard to run a nonprofit and give to other people when you haven't given to yourself. And so that means you're kind of a wounded healer. Mm-hmm. So healing begins with yourself first, and really honoring the fact that you need to, the reason I love Self-Made, because I don't see that expression as only meaning entrepreneurship. I see it as meaning DIYing yourself from the inside out. In your lifetime, you will have to make yourself over. You will have to look deeply into yourself and say, where do I need help? Where do I have gaps? And so helping yourself sometimes means joining with other women, joining with a team, finding other people that know things more than you. That's giving to yourself. So you're right. It is about a collective understanding, but it begins with you, because you have to really believe you deserve it in order to go get it.
It's been, I'm not sure, what is it, maybe 4 years since you started? I won't say it as well as you, but Adelante?
I started Adelante in 2012, so it's actually now been longer, yes.
What have you learned from meeting so many women and sharing these
Oh my God, what a great question, because I've learned so much. I've learned that we're all more alike than we're different. I learned that we all suffer, that we all had issues, that, you know, sometimes when I was younger, I would judge my mother or my aunts. Why would you guys put up with that husband or whatever? And now, you know, I'm a mother with a 19-year-old son. I understand that mothers sacrifice everything for their children. I understand that we put ourselves last. I understand that we still don't see ourselves we don't see how great we are. I also understand that we diminish ourselves, that when you ask a woman to, you know, you say, when I go around the country, even casting shows, and I say to a woman, are you a chef? No, I can cook, but, and you're there for an audition to be in Master Chef, and you still can't declare yourself a chef. You know, yeah. I understand that we really need each other and that we really need help. And that those of us that are doing well, I mean, I'll tell you an incredible story. When I wrote my book, I really wanted Susie Orman to write my foreword. And I had met her a couple of times, but I wasn't friends with her. I didn't really know her. And I wrote a letter to her and then an email. And then I was in my head, I was doing my, you know, low self-esteem speak, which comes up for all of us. Like, Susie's not going to do this. Who do you think you are to even write a letter to Susie? And I do what I always do, which is when I am in a fear, I've learned to make fear my best friend. I just go, do it anyway, do it anyway, do it anyway, do it anyway. And I send an email. And Susie Orman emailed me back 5 minutes later and said, I would love to do it. And by the way, I've sent a lot of emails to people that never responded to me. So it doesn't always work. But if you do nothing, nothing's going to happen. If you do something, 50-50. Later on, the book came out. I called Susie. And I said, Susie, thank you so much. What can I do for you? How can I be in service to you? And she said, Nellie, I am complete. I have everything I need. What more can I do for you? And when she said that, I still get teary thinking about her saying that. I had never heard a woman in my entire life say, I am complete.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, I am going to every day of my life from this moment on, I'm going to say to myself, I am complete and I have everything to give until it finally resonates with me and I feel that way, because that's how we should all, I want us all to get to that place.
That's really, I'm so glad you told that story, that on many levels, I mean, that's inspiring. And, you know, you also.
Well, it tells you a lot about Susie Orman too. That she's she walks the walk of what she does. And so I thought to myself, you know, sometimes you meet people like that. I've also met Diana Nyad, who's like that. Women that are older than you, that you say, wow, they actually walk the walk of what they speak, and they are in their fullest, highest, and best place to give. And that's powerful when you witness that.
Yeah, and I have to note those are conferences for women speakers too.
Yes, I know.
What a fascinating thing to have everybody in this community. You know, one of the other things you reflected in there was the low self-esteem speak.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, I think people could look at you, I could look at you and say, oh my gosh, you know, you've been successful since so early in life, right? From selling Avon to becoming the first guest editor, youngest guest editor of 17 magazine, and owning running a TV station so young. You know, I could look at you and say, oh, you know, you have this confidence, this boldness, this was in you from such a young age. I could never be that bold. But even with that track record, you know, you've reflected that.
Yes, of course. I think we all have not enoughness in some way or another. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be maybe you feel really smart about one thing, or, you know, I always laugh because when I do my speeches, I show my reel and my video, and it looks very successful. And I say, if I showed you my failure tape, we would all be crying. So I think we all have certain gifts, and we all also have some challenges in life. And sometimes, you know, I think for me, I've had more challenges maybe in my personal life than in my business life. But I've had many, many, many challenges and many, many, many failures. And so it's not human to not have low self-esteem show up, or not enoughness show up, or maybe you were raised, you know, with parents that weren't so sophisticated, and you have to go to the White House, or you have to go to a big thing, and you go, I don't even know how I'm supposed to eat, or how to dress, or there's many ways low self-esteem shows up. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, it shows up for me all the time, but I shoo it away. Because I know that it's my enemy. I know it's not there to help me. And I know that I'm willing to do whatever it takes in this lifetime to grow. And that's all that matters. It's not perfection. It's being on the journey.
Well, it's such a great thing that you acknowledge it, I think. You know, I find that
I think it's very important to acknowledge your and also to acknowledge the areas where you're weak in life, mm-hmm. where you need help, where you still haven't figured it out. You know, I laugh because I tell my son all the time, you know, he says to me, Mom, what's the meaning of life? And I go, oh my God, could you have asked me an easier question? But I realized that I could articulate it for him. I said, you know, life, you love video games. Life is like playing a video game. You get to level one and you figure it out. And then you get to level two and then you screw up and you have to go back to level one. And sometimes you have to do level one over and over and over again. And then finally you get to level two. And then you think you've got it made, like, oh my God, I figured this out. And then you don't realize you have to get to level three and you screw it up again. And, you know, life is an obstacle course. It is. I kept thinking when I was 20, well, things are hard now, but when I get to 50, I'm going to be like in my beach house in Cuba or Miami or wherever. And then you have a whole other set of problems and a whole other set of challenges. And then your kids leave home and then you worry about your kids and then your kids' problems become your problem. Life is not easy. It doesn't get easier. But what is good about life is you now have life experiences. You know, like you didn't know. I wish somebody had told me at 27, it's going to work out. So now in my 50s, I go, you know what? There are problems. I have money. I can solve a lot of problems with money. There are some problems money can't solve. I will get through this. This too shall pass. Mm-hmm. And I have better skills to handle it. But you still have problems and you still have obstacles and you still have things go wrong.
And when we acknowledge it, you know, then people don't feel like it's just them, right?
Will tell you this, and I think this is good for women to hear. As much as there are problems, when you do the right things and you really are on your path and you really work at being congruent, I say work at it because it is progress, not perfection. Sometimes little miracles happen in your life. You know, I just bought a church. Wow. The church, you know, I buy a lot of real estate. This church appeared. It was a lot of men were bidding for it. It was a huge bidding war. I bid the lowest of everyone, but I said I was going to turn it into a space, a co-working space for women, and on weekends, a church for women, preachers of all different religions and denominations. And guess what? The church gave me the church.
Wow.
So sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe, is listening.
Yeah. Yep. So we're almost running out of time. I could talk with you all day, but I have a couple of other things I just want to ask you to reflect on. You know, going from self-made to, wow, look at how much you have accomplished in your life. I'm always curious about, you know, how does somebody get so much done? Do you have a certain approach?
All right. Oh my God. I'm so glad you asked that. I think people think that I get some, you know, that I'm like really fast. I really am a late bloomer and I'm slow. But I will tell you how I do it because I think everyone can do this. I always say I'm a turtle. And so since I'm slow, I need to do things really slowly and calmly. Mm-hmm. This is what I do every January 1st. I write the three things I want to accomplish for the year. And they all can't be grandiose. You know, maybe it's one thing at work. Maybe it's losing 10 pounds. Maybe it's laser hair removal because laser hair removal takes a year. Losing 10 pounds takes a year. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I break it down, and every Sunday night I write down, what are the three things I'm going to do this week to get to my three things at the end of the year? Mm-hmm. And then every night before I go to bed, I go, what are the three things I need to do tomorrow? Mm-hmm. So it could be tomorrow I make one phone call. It could be tomorrow I file something. I mean, mm-hmm. I do three things a year, three things a month, three things a week, three things a day. And I complete my goals. And believe it or not, I always appear to be slower. I always have people that are my peers in business and in life that appear to be going faster than me. Mm-hmm. But somehow I always win the race. Mm-hmm. Because I actually do it slowly, but mm-hmm. methodically, and I complete.
And not 10 goals, three goals.
Not 10, not 20, not 30. No, that's a sure way to fail.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. Last thing, you've said that it's never been a better time to be a woman in America.
I feel that way, yes.
Can you say more about that? I mean, it's a complex time to be a woman in America.
I think you can't listen to all the noise that's mm-hmm. out there and all the craziness because that's other people's agenda. The facts are the facts. Facts and math don't lie. We are in a digital age. There is no barrier to entry, to sell things, to do things, to make money without even other people finding out about it. You can have an alias name. You can do whatever you want. It has never been a greater time to be heard in this country. The floodgates have opened and we've been heard and we have to keep going. And we've never had so many women, you know, look at what happened with the women's walk. I mean, how many women showed up? It is an incredible moment in history, in time. 2020 is the 100th anniversary of women's right to vote. This isn't a coincidence. It's been 100 years to get to where we are. Women around the world are following in our footsteps. Multicultural women in the United States are the leading emerging market in the world. That means they're the number one customers. They are leading in entrepreneurship. It is an incredible time. And white women got us here. So if women don't understand that this is our moment, that we're all we've got, we don't have to like each other every day, but we have to respect each other and we have to help each other because we're all we've got and we have to take ourselves across the finish line. Mm-hmm.
I love talking with you. You are just so real and so inspiring, and I'm really grateful for you to share this with our audience today. I know you also have a tremendous number of resources. Would you like to?
Yes. First of all, I just have to say, I love the women's conferences. I have personally enjoyed going to them and listening to all the speakers and speaking myself. And I know that it's hard to listen to this for half an hour and then go home and go, how do I do it? I have created for this group a three-part webinar series that everybody can watch in their pajamas at home. Please write this down. If you link on to becomingselfmade.com, one word, becomingselfmade.com/mastery, becomingselfmade.com/mastery is a link. You go on it. It's free. I've given you ladies three webinars from zero, knowing nothing, starting from scratch, 3 hours for free of webinars of how to become self-made, how to be self-reliant and rich in every way. Level one, level two, and level three. Do it in your pajamas. I'll say it one more time. Becoming self, SELF made, MADE.com/mastery.
Nelly, thank you so much. This was great. Really so thrilled you're a part of the Conferences for Women community, and really grateful for everything you're doing for women in general.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the conferences. And thank you to all the women that are sharing the collective energy of these conferences.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us this month on Women Mean Business. If you're enjoying conversations like this one, please take a moment to rate and review this podcast on iTunes. Your support will help us bring more incredible speakers like today's to you and other listeners year round.